Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the March 1st Sunday Mass's second reading. It's the second Sunday of Lent, Year A. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to His own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the word of the Lord. Welcome to the second Sunday of Lent. 2 weeks down and three to go until Easter. This reading has some good news and some bad news. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lecture practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying here? What is His purpose? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Usually I focus on what the readings say to our hearts, but sometimes I also aim for the head. This is one of those. Before we aim for the heart, there are three intellectual aspects. The first is academic and maybe irrelevant, but here it is anyway. Scripture scholars are not in agreement over who even wrote this letter. Some believe it was Paul. Others think it was written by one of his disciples sometime after his death. The second is historical and relational. Paul met Timothy when he went to the Roman province of Galatia, now modern-day south-central Turkey, Acts 16:1. Paul was 50-ish, while Timothy was in his mid to late teens or early 20s. So there's a teacher-student, maybe even a father-son-like relationship between these two. Timothy was an important ally for Paul and was vital to his ministry. Paul left Timothy in charge of the Christian community at Ephesus, 1 Timothy 1:3. These guys were really close. The third is grammatical. This is the bad news segment of the reading. I used to joke there must have been a shortage of periods when Paul was writing, because what else can explain his mastery of the run-on sentence? The unfortunate reality is, in Paul's day, there were no breaks between words, let alone sentences, let alone punctuation. These were added later, so I can't blame the run-on sentences entirely on Paul. But I hope some medieval translator is still writing, "I will not use run-on sentences," on some purgatorial blackboard, only half done with his 10 billion count punishment. Let's talk about the grammatical structure of this reading. It has two sentences. The first one is short and sweet and direct. It provides words of encouragement for Timothy. The second one is not short. It's 58 words long. It's a declaration of faith for the entire Christian community. I find the best way to make sense of this second sentence from a structural standpoint is to break it down into an outline. Please bear with me. Roman numeral 1. He saved us and called us. Three subpoints. Capital A, not by our works, capital B, but by His design, capital C, and by His grace. There's one subpoint under C. Number 1, Jesus. There's three subpoints under Jesus. Lowercase a is the source of this grace. Then there's two subpoints under this. Romanet 1, before time began. Romanet 2, now made manifest. Second subpoint under Jesus, lowercase b, destroyed death, lowercase c, brought life and immortality. Keep this in mind as you read so you don't feel like you're meandering aimlessly from point to point, but rather that you're valiantly trying to attach the right modifiers to the right subjects and objects. If you're still listening, let's look at what this reading says to our hearts. Remember, I also promised some good news. The good news is, this is the essence of good news. Jesus saves us. The first three words of that 58-word marathon are the most important ones of that sentence and the entire reading. Convey the magnitude of those three words to the faithful before you. What lessons do you get from this reading? We begin with, Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. When you open with Beloved, make eye contact and use a warm tone of voice and facial expression. Put on a heartfelt smile. Highlight bear, strength, and God. Consider inserting a short pause after strength. Try it with the pause and reading it straight through, and use whatever sounds best for you. These words of encouragement for Timothy from Paul also apply to the Christian community before you. We all experience hardship, but God gives us strength. As I already said, this next sentence is difficult, and where to break it into segments is the reader's choice for their own survival. But here goes. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design, and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began. Emphasize, he saved us, especially saved. Those three words are the most important part of this entire reading. Make eye contact with the congregation and smile in proportion to the magnitude of this good news. Use a facial expression of joy and wonder, as if sharing incredible news one-on-one with your closest friend. This is what distinguishes Christianity from other religions. Religion is defined as humankind's search for God. Christianity is God's search for humankind. Pause after us to emphasize those three preceding words by delineating them from the ones that follow. Also stress not, works, design, grace, and Christ Jesus. Insert a small pause after grace. There's another way to do this portion. Instead of emphasizing the contrast between works and design, focus on our and his own. Not according to our works, but according to his own design. Next we have, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Stress manifest, appearance, Savior, and Christ Jesus. Then, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Underscore destroyed, life, immortality, and light. Smile when you say this entire segment, because this is good news for the congregation before you. If you can do so authentically, add a tremble to the back of your throat as you joyously deliver this segment. Say the last three words through the gospel with a downward lilt as a conclusion to the reading. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions, because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the Ambo.